Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We are Baltimore Positive. We're positively down here at beautiful Lexington Market. It's all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. I have the Back to the Future scratch-offs. Has all sorts of little things on it, like Katie Pumphrey shirt here. We got the DeLorean here. We got the 88s, and we got Michael J. Fox's jacket here, the whole deal. $10,000 up for grabs in the Maryland Lottery. We talk about it all the time. Our Maryland Crab Cake Tour on the road, presented by our friends at Curio Wellness, as well as Liberty Pure Solutions. We're going to be at the Y in Randallstown on Tuesday. Should have had you come over Tuesday, because we're doing it from a pool. A swimming pool at the Y. I have tried to get Jessica Long out, so she's also the other swimmer. Katie Pumphrey is here. She is famous for swimming long stretches of wild water. And Dami Hahn is here, of course. She is famous for getting wild catfish out of the Chesapeake Bay and onto your table, as well as crab cakes shipped anywhere in the world, and trying to get Catonsville open as well. I came down for the crab races, which is Preakness Week. I've emceed this the last 3 or 4 years. BJ Suroff, usually when he shows up, just wins. This year, I think you banned him. He said he couldn't come because he had
a conflict.
Well, the conflict, he wins the competition every year. And they said, well, Katie Pumphrey's going to be here. And I'm like, that's the gal that swims. I know about her. And then she came, and I didn't realize your relationship here. So I want to give you some oxygen to talk about Katie the swimmer, Katie the artist, and you the water fishmonger's daughter. How did this all happen here?
Well, at Fadley's, we love everything that swims, and Katie swims.
You can't eat her, though. Everything else that swims, you eat, you know?
Right, but yeah. I can eat with you, and that's exciting.
Yes, yes, yes. And she's doing so much for the bay and the awareness of the bay and everything like that. So it was a perfect relationship, and I met Katie through my dear friend, Polly Surhoff.
Oh, okay.
Who was also a swimmer.
Oh, and, yeah, of course Polly's a swimmer. Okay.
She's done the open water swims for a long time.
And how long have you known Polly? People don't know this.
I've known Polly since I was a child. Probably 5, 6 years old.
You knew her when she was dating BJ Surhoff.
Yes, before. And then, you know, she went away to college. I'm a little older than she is, so I won't say how much. But, you know, and then we were, you know, off doing our own thing.
He had the North Carolina thing, then he played for the Brewers, and then boom, he's here.
Yeah, and Polly's home. They're back, and Polly's home,
and
our friendship stirred up again. So
not just
awesome.
Famous for baseball, but, I mean, obviously their work in the autism space with Pathfinders.
Absolutely.
Just unbelievable. Polly and BJ do more than anybody in that space. Last summer. I ran into them at Hootie the Blowfish, and they were, you know, getting the band involved, and Vince Fiducia and all that. But so you know Polly how?
Yeah, we swim at the same pool. Often we join each other for a workout. We've shared a lane many times. I really enjoy
training with her. So you're a pool swimmer.
So I train in the pool most of the time.
But were you a Michael Phelps kind of girl? Were you in competitions in pools as a young person?
Yeah, I mean, if you grew up in Maryland, especially in that time, yeah, you were definitely at a swim meet with Michael Phelps. And his older sister was one of my babysitters. One of his sisters actually dated my brother. And I like to remind him that she dumped him.
Oh.
Imagine that.
Yeah.
Well, in your case.
But his mom's also, you know, was in education.
Sure.
My parents are in education. My mom was a music teacher in public schools for nearly 40 years. So, you know, a lot of educators, a lot of swim moms spending time on a pool deck together. So you definitely cross paths.
I crossed paths with her 10, 11 years. When did you swim the English Channel? 2015?
My first English Channel was 2015. My second English Channel was 2022, and I'm getting ready for number 3.
Well, if you do what I do and for 35 years, you feel like you've like run into everybody. So Katie's out on the deck, and I'm emceeing this silly thing. It lasts less time than the actual, you know, the horse race. It gets over pretty quickly if you get the angry crab. And we came back in for a crab cake, and I started talking to Katie. I said, I'm doing the show down here. You should come down and do the show. And I didn't realize you had already done the show.
Well, and I didn't realize either until we exchanged numbers, and we already had each other's phone numbers.
So is that like a Engelbert Humperdinck song? Am I that easy to forget? You know? So I looked here.
Where am I?
I mean, I said to Katie, I'm like, give me your number. We're doing the show down here in June. Come on by. I had the complication a couple weeks ago when my whole thing blew up in Vegas. We moved this 2 weeks. You moved your swim thing, got moved around a little bit too. I want to talk about all that, but it was third week of May. you were about to swim, right? You were about 10 days out on doing your swim and getting everything organized.
Or less.
I think it's three days out.
3 days out, yeah.
Well, you were
of the
carb
opening.
Loading over here eating fish when I was with you.
Well, I'm a Marylander, of course.
And I said, give me her number. And I start to put her number in, and she's already in my phone. August 12th of 2015, you inbounded me a text 10 years ago. Hi there, this is Katie Pumphrey. I'm in the UK on the 24th, but I'd love to be on your show. And on the 12th, I said, how's 8 a.m. Tomorrow afternoon over the phone? Yes, that sounds awesome. And then I interviewed you.
Love it. Great.
So, it was on a phone.
Little baby Katie.
And I never looked at you.
10 years ago.
I never looked at you.
Yeah,
I didn't know what you looked like.
Hi.
You're the real Katie Pumphrey. So what happened in the last month? Give me, you swam, but you didn't swim the whole thing, and the water conditions changed. And then you gave me a little quick paragraph lecture on, there's a lot that goes into this, like people and spotters and boats. And like, and
just
I'm like, I'm foolish. This is why I need to have you on the show. You elected to do this in May because of currents and all of that, correct?
Yeah, so basically, it's my plan and hope to swim the 24-mile Beta Baltimore swim from the Chesapeake Bay Bridge to Baltimore's Inner Harbor right there at Pratt and Light Street, Harbor Place, is the finish. That 24-mile swim I hope to do many, many, many times in my lifetime. Last year was the first one. We made history, became the first person to do that. That was last June. And originally in 2024, we had planned that first swim to be in May, where the water temperature is kind of in my wheelhouse in, mid to upper 60s.
You need it colder than warmer?
I prefer it colder, yeah. So I'm training for things like the English Channel, where the water is at like 60 degrees. So as our waterways, which are pretty shallow, get warmer, that kind of complicates some things. And eventually,
in what way?
You know,
nettles in the water? Let's start with that.
No, I mean, just water temperature in general, right? You start getting, it gets dangerous. If it's just like running out on a 100-degree day, right?
It's hot. You're sweating.
Okay.
She's working out.
Yeah.
I understand that part.
So
okay.
Last year, so we planned for May, and then unfortunately, after the Key Bridge collapsed, we had to push that swim back. And so it ended up being June 25th. It was amazing that we got it in, but really we couldn't have waited even just a few more days because those warm, hot days were bringing the water temperature up even more. So when I swam it last year, that water temperature was 82, even up to 84 degrees. So that's in the water.
That's really warm water.
That's really warm.
Yeah.
That's even warmer than a pool, right? So most pools are around 80 degrees. A competition pool, that Michael Phelps would race in is more 78. But when you start creeping up even higher than that, especially when the sun is on your back, that gets dangerous, right? And so it was, we were really aggressive with hydration. It was definitely the hottest I have ever been in my entire life.
You wouldn't want to do it again that late, is what you're saying.
Right. So in planning a second swim.
See, I'm getting, 5 minutes I'm learning about all of this. I don't know any of this.
Well, I think that's like
my
the nature
doesn't know
of open
any
water
of this.
Is nature. So there's so much stuff that so many things to consider. So
storm comes, it stirs things up. Right. Okay.
So in planning a second swim, we looked at May. The two big things you're looking at to pick a window, right? A window of several days and then hoping the weather cooperates within that window. The way that you pick a window is looking at things like water temperature, air temperature, and tides. Right, so the tides and how that water is moving, especially our Patapsco River, our harbor here in the Patapsco River is tidal. So that's impacted by the phases of the moon. Right? And so months and months before, months and months before this past May, we're looking, and I say we, it's often my husband and I are really, looking at tidal charts, looking at, predictable water temperature, what are the trends? And so we narrowed down a window in May, and as that window kind of came, water temperature was perfect. Air temperature was perfect. I think that would have really created a lovely swim. However, we had a lot of wind and a lot of rain in May. And so open water, no matter what body of water you're in, you want to try to avoid heavy rain, right? Because that brings in a lot of things that you don't want to swim through, right? Especially in urban waterways. But even out, in near farms or in the things that we're thinking about when we go to the beach, right? You have runoff. You have things that impact the quality of the water. So we try to avoid heavy rain. And that is something that I am used to in my sport. I've been an open water swimmer for 15 years. And a number of swims have been canceled or postponed because of rain. So
that's always possible.
Yeah, it's
right?
just always a part of it. And then wind is kind of like the secret nemesis of open water swimming, because if you have high wind, not only is that making it harder for a swimmer, but that's making it potentially dangerous for boats. So when we looked at, you know, as we got closer and closer and closer, and that swim window is chosen, right? We're working with several organizations to make the swim possible in the first place, right? So Freedom Boat Club is providing the boats. That means they're saving that boat, and we had two boats and two boat captains. They're, you know, they're blocked off for that whole week, that whole window. So it's a lot of people's time, but it's also a lot of people's resources. You know, and then you're communicating with the Coast Guard, with the Department of Natural Resources, with Sandy Point State Park, with the Port Administration, you know, connecting with the Harbor Safety Committee. There's so many people that manage and you know, not only the land that you're starting from and ending at, but the waterways that you're swimming through. And especially our waterways, that swim, I'm going from the Chesapeake Bay into the Patapsco River, it's getting narrower and narrower. And we have a lot of boat traffic out there.
Yes, commercial traffic.
And a lot of shipping traffic, mm-hmm. right? Big tankers. And in order to do that swim safely, you do have to cross the shipping channel. So that communication is all, like, so important. So a lot goes into making
How long does it take you if it's perfect?
Swim.
If it's perfect, 24 miles from the Bay Bridge?
Yeah, so 24 miles. I'm very capable of doing that swim in 12 hours. But it all depends on the conditions, right? So last year, I finished in 13 hours, 54 minutes. I definitely, you know, I think I would have been faster if it wasn't so hot. And I think it would have been faster if it was a more favorable tide.
How far is too far?
Well, that's a whole
24
different,
miles?
That's a whole different question. And I think open water swimmers, we tend to think about time a lot more than distance, right? You can swim. The English Channel is a perfect example. Point to point from England to France to the narrowest spot. It's 21 miles.
You told me thousands of people have swam that.
I think the number is creeping up on 2,000.
Okay, I mean, that's just okay.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll get to the psychology of why in the end, but I'm going backwards here.
The fun stat comparison of that number of English Channel swimmers is more people have summited Mount Everest than have swum the English Channel. And I think that's a pretty fun stat. But the English Channel is 21 miles from England to France at its narrowest point, right? So as the crow flies in a straight line, 21 miles. But in order to swim successfully from point A to point B, from England to France, you have to plan more like an S, right? To account for not only the currents that are in there, but the changing tide.
So you're swimming 24 miles or like that, right? Instead of 21.
Both of my swims in 2015, 2022 were more close to 36, 37 miles.
Oh, wow. It's not a small S.
And both of those swims were right
around. It's a zigzag.
Yeah.
Yes.
Both of those swims are right around the 14-hour mark, just like my 2024 Beta Baltimore swim was right around the 14-hour mark. So that's where time is kind of a weird thing in the sport, because distance isn't necessarily the measurement. And you can be on course for something really fast, and then the wind picks up, and you have another hour or two that you didn't think you would. So the big thing in this sport is staying calm and kind of rolling with it.
Katie Pumphrey's here. She's staying calm and kind of rolling. Did you eat some of the catfish spread there?
I think you were delicious.
After that. Yeah. Damie got me onto that. I had a bite of it. Smoky.
Yeah.
I'm not a dip guy. You know, I mean, I'm not a salad guy. We've been through this.
I'm a big dip girl. I mean, I think anything that comes in a dip, a chip, a cracker, I mean, that's...
Yeah. Do you eat deviled eggs?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do.
See, we're just different.
Right,
I mean, we've been through this for years.
But
Damie... So your relationship with Katie and sponsoring and swimming, and this is your life passion, and you have local businesses like I have businesses that sponsor me.
Yeah.
What happened since 2015? I clearly had you on the show 10 years ago, even though I don't remember it. You don't remember it. You remember swimming the English Channel.
I remember talking to a lot of cool people after that first swim. So
I might have been one of them.
Yeah.
But so all these years, why do you do this? I'm just trying to understand the movement from maybe one day I could win an Olympic medal or be in a pool or be healthy or whatever to having this bizarre Guinness Book of World Record kind of like mindset about this. And you seem like you're not anywhere near the end of it. You're addicted to doing this.
I'm just getting started.
Yeah, it feels like you're addicted to doing this.
That's one of the magical things about swimming, right? Swimming is a lifelong sport. And women especially tend to get stronger and stronger, especially in endurance. I know women in their 60s doing channel swims. The Bay Swim, there was a gentleman that was 90 years old and did a 4.4-mile swim. Swimming is just kind of magical that way.
Better than golf. Don't
sure.
say that to the golfers.
Don't tell my dad.
Don't tell the golfers that.
But you use every muscle in your body when you swim.
Yeah. And I think there's ways to train really smart, so that you're preventing injuries or dealing with injuries that come along.
Were you in the pool today?
So this morning I was actually swimming in the Inner Harbor.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, my hair's still a little wet.
So you get in the Inner Harbor frequently, and people jump in and hold their nose and think it's a big deal, or they make fun of it like I do, because I
sure.
lived at the harbor. So for 19 years, I looked out, I saw green, I saw red, I saw blue, I saw brown, I saw...
As you might see in open water, yeah.
Yeah, bodies and ambulances and twigs. And
you know what I saw this morning?
What'd you see?
Swim under me, a cow nose stingray.
Really?
A cool. stingray swam right under me. Yeah, very
That's
cool.
a good sign.
Great sign.
What do you
it's a
see?
Great sign to
what
see
do
a
you see in the Inner Harbor when you swim?
I mean, it's dark water. We have rivers, especially on the East Coast, tend to be a little murky. They have a silt floor, so there's
I hear about otters.
Lots
you
of
run
things.
Into them sometimes?
I am really looking forward to seeing a river otter. I haven't seen one in IRL yet, but one of these days.
I've lived in the suburbs for 3.5 years. I saw my first possum the other day.
That's exciting.
That's kind of interesting. Like, why haven't I seen that thing? I know they're here.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking for the Inner Harbor. You said I swam in the Inner Harbor.
I did.
She thinks that's normal. None of the rest of us have done that. So it's like saying I went to the moon. Tell me what you saw.
Totally.
Literally.
Well, the first question you asked was what's changed in 10 years? Right. So when I swam the English Channel for the first time, when we spoke in 2015, I was 10 years younger. I was a lot greener in this sport. My first official open water swim was in 2010, the Chesapeake Bay Swim, where you swim between the two spans from Sandy Point State Park to what is now Libby's Restaurant. Right. That swim is brutal. It is not a beginner swim. And I coach many swimmers every year to do it. And that's the one big thing I remind people about. It's a really fun swim, but it is tough.
How long does it take to do that?
I'm right around the 2-hour mark. This year I was 2 hours and 11 minutes, which felt pretty solid. It was a fun washing machine.
Every time
there.
I look down from the Bay Bridge, that water's moving pretty good.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The water's moving down there.
Yeah, but I think so. I've learned a lot since then, right? But I also, when I first got into this sport, I remember sitting at Canton Waterfront Park dreaming about just let's swim to Fort McHenry, right? Let's swim to Fells Point. And you go to the other cities where urban swimming is a bigger thing, right? And we have waterways that are swimmable. And you've seen in other cities especially, and rural areas too, but especially cities, our waterways getting better and better and better, right? And that's because we're figuring out how to take care of them, but also how not to hurt them as much, right?
And I had Martin O'Malley at your place about 5-6 years ago. We first started doing the show together, and he brought me his Smarter Government. This was after he ran for president. He was just before he ran Social Security. He's just a retired governor coming out, and all he talked about was the Bay. All he talked about was the thing he's the proudest of from his administration was tried to clean the Bay up. That's the legacy thing that he thought. So 15 years later, after he was the governor of the state, for you to say it is getting cleaner, well, I guess government was involved in that.
Well, absolutely.
People are involved.
A lot
in that.
Of
businesses involved.
A lot of people are involved. Right. This to get where we are. Especially just comparing that 10 years stretch, that's city infrastructure changing, right? That's our city making changes and taking the steps to improve things like
Mr. Trash Wheel,
our sewer system, our runoff, right? How that water and how everything in our city works so that it doesn't harm that water, right? And then you bring in also, so you have city and governmental agencies, right? But then also, yeah, nonprofits.
Mr. Trash Wheel,
like
he's on your chest.
Waterfront Partnership, right? Waterfront Partnership, who works with Clearwater Mills. John Kellett of Clearwater Mills invented Mr. Trash Wheel, and now we have 4 trash wheels, right? And if you're unfamiliar with the Trash Wheel family, look them up. They're googly-eyed.
Get a shirt.
And fantastic. So we got Mr. Trash Wheel, right? He's right there in the Inner Harbor. We have Professor Trash Wheel, which is right off of, in Canton, right off of Boston Street. Professor Trash Wheel, of course, has her big, giant eyelashes, and she joined me into the finish this year. We also have Captain Trash Wheel in Masonville Cove, where a pair of bald eagles are currently nesting. And we have Gwenda, the Good Wheel of the West, right? So you have government, you have nonprofit agencies, you know, you have all these organizations doing so much over decades, right? Not just the last decade. But you also have all of these businesses, right, like Fadley's, doing so much that take care of our waterways, and that includes how you feed us, right? How we support the fishermen and how we support the industry.
It feels like you swim so you can be an ambassador for cleaning the water.
Well, so 10 years ago, I would have never imagined that, right?
You were just trying to swim.
But I was dreaming about swimming in Baltimore. And as I've gotten further and further into the sport, and when the Beta Baltimore Swim became possible, and really that came when Waterfront Partnership started teasing their Harbor Splash event. And I reached out and said, hey, I want to do a swim. I want to partner with you. And I'm going to make this a big message of support for the city. Right? Our city needs a lot of love. And my big goal in that and spreading and sharing this swim with people is, can we talk about sport, right? Talk about swimming, which I think people connect with sport, and talk about the environment and talk about how awesome this city is, right? And if in the process I can partner with amazing businesses and organizations, awesome, right? And then I get to come and talk to fun people like you.
I'm not that much fun. Katie Pumphrey's here. Dami Hahn's here. We're at Fadley's. We're talking about swimming in the Inner Harbor. So last year we had the jump in the harbor. They didn't offer me as a celebrity dude because I'm not, you know, I piss too many people off to be that popular, which is good for me. Good for you, actually, as the listeners.
We have another chance. Harbor Splash 2025 is coming up next weekend. So I was in the Inner Harbor, and we did a jump in, a splash, with Waterfront Partnership, and a representative from the mayor's office jumped in this morning.
You did that right down where Living Classrooms is. That's where it was last year.
Bond Street Wharf, right at the new kayak launch.
For people getting in the harbor and their mind of it's not safe or whatever, you're sort of living, breathing proof that, like, you were in it this morning, right?
Yeah, and here I am. You know, 10 fingers, 10 toes.
Where do
arms.
You swim when you jump in and do your little rounds?
The big reminder, right, is that while we're working towards a healthier harbor, right, and we're celebrating a swimmable Patapsco River and harbor for Baltimore, the reminder is that open water is still, you should still take all safety precautions, right?
So I'm not letting anybody do that. I'm just talking about, like, where you practice
well,
and why.
Well, so, but the big thing is I always have a boat with me, right?
Spotter.
I always have a team with me. Right. I'm not jumping off a promenade. That's unsafe. And so this morning, you know, a couple days ago, I got the kind of green light that, especially after a recent diesel spill and, you know, that water quality testing was good, got a good thumbs up. And that water quality testing that Waterfront Partnership is doing, that's meeting the same standards as any swimming beach in Maryland, right? So if you go to Ocean City or you go to Sandy Point State Park and swim, someone is testing that water, right? Anne Arundel County or someone, some agency within city or state is doing that. And our harbor is meeting those same standards. So Waterfront Partnership is testing way more often, which is really exciting to see that data. But so with that communication, kind of knowing that we were there, we wanted to kind of jump in this morning. And
so it's cleaner than you think it is.
It is absolutely
cleaner than
you think it is.
All right. That's a message, I guess, of people jumping in.
Yes.
Because people don't think it's clean.
I don't think that the harbor wants people jumping in and swimming around because it's dangerous as far as boat traffic and everything else.
Right. It's a busy waterway.
They don't want people having races across the harbor. Not unless it's planned.
But we hope to plan some.
Yes.
We got enough people breaking laws on mopeds around here. I don't need to take it into the water. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But and all kidding aside, and you're the glory of doing this and the publicity of doing this. But the real message here is that the water's getting better. That's the, at the end of the day, so good that the catfish eating everything in it. Right? Do you see those big Jabba the Hutt catfish when you're out there swimming?
The blue catfish I have not seen, but I am loving that the river otters are also doing their part to eat them. So we should all
Oh, the otters are eating them?
Eat them? Yeah, they are. I mean, they're an apex predator.
Well, apparently so are these catfish, from what I can tell, eating the
they
crabs.
They are there. Eating a lot, yes. But the otters are eating them. So
when's your next swim?
We need to eat them too.
What are we preparing for? You said you're going to do Bay Bridge to Baltimore more. Is, like, September a good, or October, does the water get
well,
to that
so
point?
For 2025, the window was in May, and we ended up trying the swim May 20th, right? So I got in, the plan was to start a little earlier. There was some rain coming, and the tide was kind of the best if I started.
She starts in, like, at, like, midnight and goes through the morning.
Yeah.
Right.
So this is a 1 a.m.
I mean,
start.
Can you imagine jumping
You're
in?
Out there with, like, a little boat and a
I'm
white
ready to
light,
go to
right?
bed,
right?
Put my 90 on, and she's jumping in the
right.
water.
Wearing a glow stick.
Yes.
glow stick you wear. Okay,
yeah,
all right.
Boat is a little lit up, but also everyone has a light on, red light. Yeah, so originally we, you know, kind of looking at the window we had, the 18th through the 23rd, you know, we had originally picked the 19th and then had to push it back 24 hours because the wind just kept increasing. And really the 20th was the only day we could have tried. Before that, the wind was really high, and after that, there was rain.
It was a poopy month. It really
yeah,
was.
Yeah, it was just, it's tricky. And I and that's also just, you know, we're having more and more extreme weather, which is a reality. So I got in at 1 a.m. at Sandy Point State Park. It was kind of a wild time out there, much like a washing machine. And I was swimming strong, but it was becoming increasingly unsafe for the boats, right? And they were even more concerning. They were starting to have trouble seeing me. So my crew alerted me about an hour in that they were going to pull me, which was a big bummer. Certainly something I have experienced before for very similar reasons in other swims.
It's completely uncontrollable.
Totally.
This is...
Yeah, so like I didn't tap out because it was crazy out there. I definitely would have kept swimming and those,
the boat
are, and those are conditions. Well, but I think it's, you know...
The team.
It was a good call. It was the right call to keep everybody safe. And so we, you know, but that's a heartbreaking call. It's a big bummer. And, but I wasn't surprised. You know, I was seeing the water go over the bow of the boat and, you know, it was some close calls of the distance that we should keep. And, so we got back on the boat and immediately started talking about let's pivot to a shorter swim, right? The wind was still pretty intense out in the bay, but as you move towards the, you know, into the Patapsco, which is a little more protected, and later in the day, the wind was kind of dying down. It was going to rain later, so we kind of had this window of like, all right, the message of this swim, right? It was never about 24 miles. While I do wish and plan to do that swim again in all 24 miles many, many times.
Always in May?
Well, we'll see.
Okay. But why is October out in September? Is it? I'm just trying to understand the science of it.
It's not. It's not. The water is warmer. You have some other issues. And, you know, for this season, that...
You're chilling.
That's not the plan.
Next May is your next goal?
We'll see. But, yeah.
We'll see.
We pivoted. And, you know, at that point, our boats were docked. It's now 3 in the morning. We barely had a ride for all the crew back to Baltimore. It was kind of a wild time. And we made our way back and, you know, communicated with everyone that makes this one possible to let them know that we were, you know, out of the water and safe. So we pivoted and we ended up jumping in with the help of Urban Pirates, the pirate ship. And I had my crew on their skiff.
All those guys ever done is try to squirt at me when I'm on the outside of the promenade.
Well, they're pirates. Of course they
I know. That's what they do to me.
Yeah, so I jumped in at Fort McHenry and swam 2.4 miles in to the finish, which was awesome. People still came out. Professor Trashwheel joined me. You know, kayakers from Canton Kayak Club joined. Paddleboarders from Be More Sup. I mean, it was like very much this whole Baltimore.
I love that Jessie's
flotilla.
Getting involved there.
Yeah.
That's good. Jessie's my girl.
And then there were a ton of people at the finish, right? And whether it was 24 miles or not, people were there to celebrate the fact that we can do this, right? And the fact that we're celebrating Baltimore through this swim. So it was still a very magical day. Plus, I got handed a new beer that's named after me by Peabody Heights Brewing. The beer is called Katie Pumphrey's Big Swim.
So she swam and drank her beer
what
in the harbor.
What kind of beer is this?
While swimming, she was drinking.
Lager, Kolsch,
it's a hazy session IPA, but low ABV, 4.8%, very drinkable.
All right. Delicious getting out of the water?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Yeah.
Do you crave beer when you get out of the water?
Often, yes.
Oh, I like you already. You could be from Dundalk if you're... Katie Pumphrey is here. Wait, you're an artist as well, correct?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I mean, I mentioned you to a friend of mine. She got to ask her about her art and Mike and all this stuff. And I'm like, I don't know Katie that well. We knew each other like we did the show, and I don't really know her that well. Like...
Yeah, that's part of, you know, my swim season is so planned out, right? Asking if I'm going to do the swim in September... right now, I'm focused on I have the English Channel at the end of July.
You didn't mention that. We're 20 minutes in. I buried the lead.
Yeah.
So you're going to do that for the third time?
English Channel number 3 is late July. And then I come back, and I have a solo exhibition. So speaking of art, all new, giant, massive paintings. A solo exhibition called Swimming Pool will be at the Creative Alliance, which opens September 5th.
Patterson Park, baby. Come on over to Creative Alliance. All right. So where do people find you? And... You gave me a beautiful little sticker. I didn't bring it with me here, a little state sticker and all that stuff.
Yeah.
We did our crab races together. But following you, easiest social media is where I learned
media,
about your swim.
Katie Pumphrey, P-U-M-P-H-R-E-Y. Katie Pumphrey Art is my social media handle. But there you'll find, you know, tales of swimming as well as the studio things happening, upcoming shows, you know, paintings in progress, paintings finished, and definitely some photos of my dog.
I was going to ask you if the craziest thing you've ever seen in the water. I don't know what you see when you're swimming, right?
So like, it depends. I've been in a lot of waterways. I've seen a lot of things. This morning, swimming in the Inner Harbor and seeing, stingrays was just super cool.
Never seen that before.
It is a very good sign of clean water.
Of course.
Yeah. I had seen other people's photos and videos of them swimming around the mm-hmm. harbor, but never. I hadn't seen them, let alone had them swim under me. So that was super cool.
Does your dog ever swim with you?
She fears water, actually. But she's really good at cuddling, so we'll let her have it.
Dolphins?
Dolphins a bunch of times.
Will they swim with you?
Yeah, so the last year, after the Beta Baltimore swim, I did the Catalina Channel for the second time, which is a 21-mile swim from Catalina Island to Long Beach, L.A., and that swim, which, you know, it's the Pacific. So
that's cold water.
It's
really
colder,
cold.
It's deeper, thousands of feet, and a huge pod of dolphins. I mean, hundreds and hundreds of dolphins swam through.
Oh, that's cool.
Swam under me, swam around me, swam between me and the boat. I mean, they were just, like, everywhere. Very cool. Also in that swim.
And they won't bump you or anything like that?
One time at night, I had a dolphin swim under me, and it hit my hand and kind of pulled me a little. Which was really helpful.
Did you say, come back?
I know. Thanks. Maybe another mile. But last year, Catalina, there was a sea lion that swam upside down under me around midnight. That swim you start before midnight. It started around 10:30 at night, which swimming through the Pacific throughout the entire evening.
And that is dark water.
A big lesson in staying calm. Mind over matter with that one. Although, no matter what, every time I'm like, don't think of Jaws. Don't think of Jaws. And then I start playing the movie. Which it's just such a good film.
I've sailed that, but I haven't. Of course,
I've seen Catalina. You know, when I fly out of LAX or whatever. But I mean, I know where it is.
I haven't seen. I've seen a little shark on a training swim in LA once. Something was with me once in the Outer Banks. I didn't quite see it. My husband saw a fin and a shadow, and I had a feeling. But last year, in the darkness of Catalina, a sea lion swam under me upside down, which was just so cool. And then later in the morning, kind of craziest fish I've ever seen was a mola mola sunfish, which if you don't know what a mola mola sunfish...
Did they have one of those, the blades on the back? Sailfish kind of like...
They're super flat, wildly weird looking.
Hold on.
And they also get as big as a pickup truck.
Spell it. Mola, mola.
Oh, my gosh.
And they eat jellyfish.
Mola, mola.
What
is it? Ocean sunfish. M-O-L-A. Mola, mola.
Sunfish.
I'm looking it up right now. It looks like a prehistoric kind of like thing. Yeah. Look at that. There you go. Mola. Oh, I just closed it. Hold on. Mola, mola. There you go. That's a mola mola right there. Let me make sure everybody can see
and
that.
And where was this?
Crazy fish.
That was Catalina? In the morning. Which, that entire swim, I was hitting jellyfish about every 6 seconds. Little juvenile jellyfish. They love me. Jellyfish, if you don't want to get stung by jellyfish, just swim with me. You'll be fine.
Oh, my God.
How often do you get stung?
That swim was around 13 hours. I think I got stung every 6 seconds.
Does it mean the water's too warm?
No, I think it was just their time, there's different types of jellyfish. English Channel tend to be kind of these big lion's mane jellyfish that their tentacles can get.
You're wearing a suit, though, right? No.
So for all these swims, you're wearing just a regular swimsuit, cap, and goggles. So I follow English Channel rules or Marathon Swimmers Federation rules, which is just regular swimsuit, cap, and goggles. You start beyond the water. You finish beyond the water. If you can't get out, you touch. You can't hang on the boat. You can't hang on a person, so you can't touch anything, anyone. Once you're in, you are swimming. And there's a few other rules, but you're eating along the way, drinking along the way. I wish, some delicious sandwiches, but usually it's just some carb mix in my water and things. It's a kind of a wild sport that way. It's really just you in the water, but it does require a team and a lot of gear.
How big's the team?
So.
How many people were with you on May 20th?
that we had about 9 people or so. You know, really some swims, like for the upcoming English Channel, I'll have 3 crew people, my husband and 2 friends. And then there's 2 boat captains. And for every swim, there's always an observer. For the Bay de Baltimore in 2024, we had 2 observers. Those are like your referees. So if you're setting kind of a record, you're the first person to do something, or you're setting a record for speed or something in particular.
It needs to be documented.
You're documenting no matter what, but you, by the Marathon Swimmers Federation, you would have 2 observers.
Anything, that'll leave anything out, Amy? Are you learning too, or do you know all this?
I'm learning the whole time.
I don't know any of this. No, I don't know any of
this.
Am I leaving anything out? You know a lot more about water and fish and crabs than I do, and swimmers and all that.
You even know Polly. Just a little bit about the open water, because Polly was an open water swimmer.
Yeah.
She's like swam around St. Croix and did all these, you know, other, you know, crazy open water swims. She was in front of Open Water Magazine.
It's a very cool way
to
travel and see things. You know, in 2017, I swam around the island of Manhattan. It was a very cool way to see New York.
I walked around it yesterday.
Nice.
But yeah.
Well, I swam around it, and I'm coaching swimmers that are doing that coming up.
Can I be honest? Is there, because people out here think, like, the Inner Harbor's too dirty to swim in, I wouldn't swim in it. Okay, great. What other bodies of water do you swim in, or can you not? Are there places you can't swim because of sharks? Because, like, I remember you can Google this place called Fraser Island. Mm-hmm. It's the largest sand island in the world. It's off the east coast of Australia. It's an eco-friendly island. Everything's green. I stayed on that island, and I had like a mini moke. It's a 70-mile beach, literally 70 miles, that you get on a Jeep and you can go. But there's no people. You can't get in the water because there's sharks everywhere. Like, there's signs. It's 70 miles of beach where it's illegal to get in the water. There's signs everywhere.
Wow, cool.
Because there's that many sharks.
I know some Australian open water swimmers, and when they talk about conditions, right, I talk about rain, wind,
sharks,
waves. They say sometimes it gets a little sharky. Yeah.
A little sharky. Define that.
Right.
One would be a lot.
Well, I think, exactly.
No, I mean, there are.
2 would be 2 many.
There are places that they like to congregate. So, yeah, maybe don't, you know, swim through their living room.
Don't wear rings that bring their attire. You're always seeing that, right? Shiny things.
But generally, if you are swimming somewhere that sharks are, right, and that is like any salty body of water, right? The ocean. If you've been in the ocean, and even some brackish water, you know, or out in the bay, if you have swam in there, a shark, I guarantee, has seen you. I've spent a lot of time in open water. Sharks have definitely seen me, and I find that pretty comforting, actually. You know, of course,
that makes one of us.
Encounters happen. You know, and obviously, if you up your frequency of swimming through bodies of water, that might up your chances. But I generally, that's not something I worry about.
Do they do this in the Chicago Harbor? I mean, like, I'm just trying to think
urban swimming, other places. There's a big movement for it, right?
Well, there's people doing it.
People doing it, yeah.
Right.
And Baltimore is definitely leading the charge in a lot of these cities.
We will have a big race here one day that you'll be a big swinger on 10 years from now, bringing 30 people like you to do crazy thing. I mean, how many people do this in the world?
Funny you mentioned that.
We'll see that.
So I'm in the process of starting a nonprofit called Baltimore Open Water Swimmers, BOWS for short. It'll be launching in 2026. The plan to start, BOWS will be the governing body of the Bay to Baltimore Swim, which I hope to run in 2026 with 5 swimmers. You start small with that kind of a distance, because 5 swimmers means at least 5 boats and a lot of crew and a lot of people. And, you know, the more spread out that swim
gets. Yeah, 100 people couldn't do this,
that's
right?
That's a big footprint.
It'd be too much.
But BOWS will also be launching, and hoping to make this happen in 2026, a 1- and a 2-mile swim in the harbor, and that hopefully will run with 100 swimmers.
Okay.
So big swimming events, more and more.
Get Phelps's ass back here. Let's go. Get in the water.
It's coming for Baltimore. And, you know, as far as our city leading the charge in that movement, I am next week headed to Rotterdam in the Netherlands. I've been invited to speak at the Swimmable Cities International Summit. So I will be representing Baltimore, Maryland, and the U.S., and I'm really excited to speak at that summit. Share the story of my Bay to Baltimore swim and really talk about how awesome this city is.
That's great.
Is there a Super Bowl? The English Channel would be the thing everybody kind of points at, is like that 21 miles is probably like the famous thing that, like,
English Channel I always describe as like the mother of them all, right? That's
right.
Like, The English Channel really is really kind of the, a lot of swims started because of that one. But there's
no organized swim there, right? There's no day where 20 of you go over and have a world champion. You know, just do
there's
something.
There's about a dozen boats that are approved to do it. You register with the governing body there, which is this Channel Swimming Association or the Channel Swimming Pilot Federation.
So there is no international governing body then, right?
There is a World Open Water Swimming Association, WOWSA. which is a very fun acronym.
Wowza. Okay. Uh-huh. All right.
But every kind of swim is it kind of acts in its own way. But the international community of channel swimming is pretty small.
Yeah, I was gonna say you all know each other. You got to, right?
Yeah, it's very supportive. It's a cool sport that way.
All right. Well, come back
not
soon.
Not many of these people that want to jump out.
Yeah,
there.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not done with you, but I'm done with you for now.
But I think the thing to remember is that swimming is a lifelong sport, right? So whether you've been a swimmer your whole life or you're just getting into it at whatever age you are, open water is a really fun way to get into a new sport. It's a really cool way to see places. I was out in the harbor this morning. It is just the coolest view of our city.
My wife is, I'm friends with Jesse Benson from FloYo and what's Sup?
Be Sup.
Yeah. And some of my yoga pals were, Marissa and a bunch of people. About like 5 years ago, my wife went on a yoga retreat with Jesse to Florida. And actually, she's a paddleboarder, my wife, right? Like, and I, because she could hula hoop and she's got the hippie hip thing. She surfed one time in Hawaii and got up pretty quickly, and yeah. I have video of her doing that in Maui, but it's the only time she's ever been on a surfboard, but she paddleboard, like, just took to it. One day went out with Jesse, like, in Rocky Point or something. I said, how many times did you fall in the water? She's like, I didn't get wet. And I'm like, what? No, feel me. I didn't get in the water.
Big reminder to everyone
she's
to be working
so
on our
strong,
balance.
But
right?
She's so strong that she can do it. So then one day was at the harbor, and they put in at the Rusty Scupper, and it was for like morning like Fox 45 or something was doing a morning thing.
Fun.
And my wife went out, and I put these pictures up of her and 20 other people out paddling from the Rusty Scupper to the end, just hanging out in the harbor, just paddling around at 8 o'clock in the morning for morning television. And the pictures are unbelievable. Yeah. You know, it's like, and people saw it, they're like, oh my God, it looks like San Diego. It looks like Fremantle
right.
or whatever.
We have a beautiful city.
We have a beautiful city.
And to see it and experience it from the water is truly amazing. And I understand people's hesitation about swimming in the harbor. I totally get it. You know, go at your own pace as these events come up. But I really hope people, kind of find the enthusiasm here to believe in progress, right? In so many ways, our harbor is just getting better and better. And the more love we show our city and the businesses that make it special and the people that run it and, really...
Don't throw ish in the harbor.
Get out there and enjoy
it. Don't pollute it.
I think the more you're going to feel love for it as well, right? And I think the harbor, I get the hesitation, but
she always tells
it's
me about the oyster wars that we had here 150 years ago,
very
right?
Very cool to read about.
The amazing thing is all you've taught me about oysters, that you could bring a big tank in here that's muddy water, and sit some oysters at the bottom and leave for the weekend and come back and the water would be clean.
Yep.
Which is how we eat the oysters. That's another story altogether. A little brackish.
Delicious.
But they are delicious. I'd eat them right now. But the notion that, like, this is, the Inner Harbor probably was completely pristine at one point.
Oh, it was.
It probably was, like, drinking water because there were so many oysters cleaning it.
Yeah.
For centuries, probably, before we got here. Effed it all up. Katie Pumphrey's here. She was swimming with Mr. Swim Wheel. Or is that Mr.
Trash Wheel?
That's Mr.
Wheel.
Trash Wheel is what he is. That's Mr.
Yeah,
Trash Wheel to you.
This shirt matches my swimsuit, which was designed by Baltimore illustrator Sarah Bolton. So check out her work.
Well, she doesn't do the salt boxes, but have you had a salt box made of you?
I haven't.
You
That'd
should.
Be very cool. No,
you're,
but Sarah designed this pattern and these illustrations.
You're a legit Baltimore celebrity.
Which
we should have a salt box.
All sorts of
you.
Baltimore and yes. Maryland icons.
Yeah, I love it all. She's got the crab, she's got the rockfish, she's got the oysters, she's got Mr. Trash Wheel, and the bowling.
Black-eyed Susan in there.
Right.
I forget
that's a
the
duck
black-eyed
and a lemon stick.
Lemon stick. Oh. Black-eyed Susan.
Springtime staple.
Yeah, I missed it. I missed the fair this year. I got to go next year. Got to make sure I have that happen. All right, Damie's here. She's got crab cakes for you. Katie Pumphrey's here. She's busy trying to swim places. And what's the next big swim?
English Channel in July.
How many? There's the third one?
This is number three.
And you've succeeded the other two times. You've not
Correct.
Had the. Okay. Yeah. Follow her. She's out on the internet and on Instagram and all sorts of places you
can
find her.
Go see her art.
Yeah, and I'll be sharing my trip to Rotterdam for Swimmable Cities. And
I love the Dutch. Tell the Dutch I said hello.
In Folkestone in England. It's there. They have a big art triennial that's happening in Folkestone, so I'm really excited. It's a very cool portside town next to Dover. And so being there, you know, last time, my second English Channel swim, I waited for 10 days for the wind to calm down to be able to try it. And it's just a really cool place to be. So
it's too expensive to hang out in the UK right now for me, financially.
But going to Rotterdam next week. Rotterdam and Baltimore are sister cities. So that's very
yes,
cool.
Yes, they are.
Get that Euro out, man. Give the Dutchie some love over there. All right, she's headed over to the Netherlands and Holland. Hoop Holland. Everything's orange in Holland. I know about that. Damien's here. The Crabs are orange. The Orioles are orange. We had Oriole fans
yes,
here.
Yes, yeah.
We're beautiful. Fadley's yep. Seafood in Lexington Market. It's all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. The Back to the Future scratch-offs available. I will be at... I'm going to be at a pool on Tuesday.
I love that.
Better not throw me in the pool, these kids over there at the Y. John Hoey's going to be with us.
We should just jump in ahead of that.
I'm looking forward to it. I've talked to the folks from the Y for a long time about talking about all the things that they do. So we're going to be at Randallstown next week. We're going to be at Reader's Crab House in Reisterstown later on in the month. I got some interesting things going on with the Crab Cake Tour next month that I'll talk about. Also, my 27 favorite things to eat in the city begins on August 3rd, which is our 27th anniversary. It's all brought to you by the Baltimore Maryland Lottery, our friends at Curio Wellness, and Liberty Pure Solutions. Thanks for coming by.
Very cool. Yeah, thanks, Fadley's. Thanks, yeah. Thanks for having us.
I didn't expect you to say, oh, I was swimming in their inner harbor today, so I'm glad you could make it. Come have a crab cake down here at Fadley's. I'm Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. Talking fish, catfish, swimming in the harbor, and eating those crab cakes. We're Baltimore Positive. Stay with us.